Welcome to Lawrence Longbox, everybody. Welcome. This is the Cup Price Top 10 for the week ending 3/26/2024. While you guys are congregating, shall we play some music for the folks? Welcome to Laura's Alarm Box. Laura, say what's good to people.
Hi, guys. I haven't been here in a hot second, so it's great to be back. I missed both of you so much.
You have, kind of.
What do you mean?
You abandoned us.
I've been gone for like three shows.
Yeah, but you've that's been in each show if you haven't been watching.
Like in spirit?
We figured a way to get you into the show each time.
Oh, God. Okay, well, great. Hi, guys.
What did you say, JP?
I said every week that she wasn't here, we kind of figured out a way to get her cameo appearance incorporated into the show.
Oh. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know. I don't run the controls. TiVo does, so.
Come to me. I've been waiting.
Oh, my God.
We're clipping that.
No, we're not. Is that what you guys are playing the whole time?
Pretty much every show, sometimes two or three times.
Awesome. Oh man.
All right, JB, finish your soliloquy.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Laura. You were still kind of popping in. What else you got going on since you've been back?
I broke my tooth today.
We have a show after this. We're going back to back.
No shows after this. No, but I did break my tooth today and it's fixed. Ouch. But if I'm talking weird, that's why.
Oh, ouch.
All right. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. This is the top 10. This is my only appearance this week. I'm going on vacation. So thanks for having me. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. TiVo's like, give me the eye. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Everybody's leaving me. Bastards. Best
I'll fill in. I'll be here on Thursday for you.
Spring break, man. Come on.
All right. The show is sponsored by our friends over at CoverPrice.com for your price guides, collections, and trends. Head on over to CoverPrice.com. Also, our sponsor Bird City Comics. Use discount code of LOTLB to get 15% off anything in a Bird City Comics store. Laura, can you tease what's coming up?
Yeah, so if you guys follow me on IG, I posted this book called The Encoded by Joel Herrera. Beautiful, like pinup cover. I absolutely loved it. Long story short, I ended up reaching out to him because I like his art so much, and we were able to snag him for a World Tree cover, which we're gonna be showing hopefully tomorrow. And I promise you, it is stunning. You're gonna absolutely love it. Beautiful book.
There you go. And we're going to probably give it away.
Yeah, we probably actually, yeah, we'll do it on Thursday.
Yeah. So you got to make sure you know, leave a comment on the after this video post so you can be for the drawing on Thursday show. So remember, you got to play if you want to win, right? I mean, geez, because We have like 1,500, 1,700, 1,800, views, but only 30, 40 comments.
Right? People are shy. They're just like watching on the sidelines.
They're shy.
Yeah.
At least they're hitting the thumbs up, man. We're getting a pretty decent number of thumbs up. Shout out to everybody who's hitting that thumbs up.
All right. This is the Cup Price Top 10 for week ending 3/25. What do we have for this week's runner-up?
All right. The runner-up. What do we got first up? Yeah, this is new. I haven't seen this before. We've got Web of Spider-Man issue number one, the Paco Medina 1/25. Man, 1/25 variant. Nice. Now, Spider-Man has been a superhero all-star that ran several solo titles. Ever since the debut of the Spider-Verse, Spidey has shared that spotlight with an ever-growing cast of Spider variants. Now, Marvel is advertising this year as the biggest year in Spider history. This book right here serves as a preview of the future stories we'll see throughout the year. Now, the regular covers have remained at cover price, but this retailer incentive has increased in value just 5 days after hitting the shelves. It makes sense. Medina illustrated an epic combination of Spider-Verse characters. The highly animated style is the perfect way to show the Spider-Verse team leaping into action, and fans are all for it. We track 46 copies sold in the last 7 days with a high sale of $60 for a raw near mint copy, driving that current raw near mint fair market value up to $40.
So Web of Spider-Man number one, the Paco Medina 1/25 variant. So there's no first appearances or anything on in this book, right? It's just a first
issue. I don't think so. Just dope cover.
Organic is like what we'd like to say, right?
I like the cover. It looks like a video game case. Like this could be part of a video game.
Yeah. It looks more like, I don't know, a cartoon? Yeah, like a cartoon. Yeah, but a really good cartoon. All right. What do we have? What do you have for number 10?
Oh, I'm so happy I got this one. So kicking off the list at number 10, we have Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, number one. This is the Patrick Horvath cover A from IDW back in 2023. While this book had a quiet debut, once fans found out what it was all about, they were all in. It rocketed up top 10 lists and saw a healthy eBay aftermarket on the back end. Since then, it has done nothing but steadily rise in value. That was no different this week, as this quiet storybook tale filled with murder continues to rise up the charts. Some fans believe there is an imminent announcement about this book being optioned for the screen, causing some to take another look around the internet for a copy. With nothing but concrete currently out there, it remains nothing more than a rumor for now. Although I think it would probably get optioned too. We tracked 18 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 17%, with a high sale of $225 for a CGC 9.8 and a current near mint fair market value of $65. We've talked about this book a couple times so far in the past few months, and I will say this. The interior art here is absolutely gorgeous. It's so well done. Patrick Horvath did both the writing and the art, and I would not be surprised at all if this is optioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a whimsical cover, too. Like, you don't think about all the crazy shit that's going on inside of it, you know. I have a feeling where there's fire, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Or is it vice versa? You get what I mean. You know, people are buying these up, you know, and, you know, right now more than ever, I mean, Hollywood is just poaching like really obscure independent stuff that, you know, to put on either the small screen or the big screen. So, you know, doesn't surprise me, you know.
I missed the boat on this. How many issues deep is this? Is this out in trade yet? I feel like I should read, you know, I at least need to get the read in on this.
Last year.
Let me see if I can find it.
Anybody in the
chat? I only read issue one and two.
If you guys have read this, tell me if this is out in trade yet. I'm going to have to jump on this on trade.
One of six,
JD. Nice, Eugene.
Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, number one, coming in at number 10. Yeah. CC 9.8 for 225. What do we have for number nine? It always shows up.
Always. At number nine, Spawn, issue number one, originally published in 1992. Once again, Spawn lands on the list, which isn't surprising. He's an aftermarket mainstay with a bright future in front of him. We are still waiting for more information regarding the upcoming film, and we could be waiting even longer. Jason Blum is determined to keep his lips sealed about the project, and Todd McFarlane remains optimistic yet quiet. Despite the ups and downs, the aftermarket continues to support our favorite Hellspawn. We recorded 33 copies sold the last 7 days with a high sale of $150 for a CGC 9.8 and a current raw near mint fair market value of $24.
So spot number one, only 150 for a 9.8, because there's a shit ton of them. There's a huge print run of these things, man. I mean, they are all over the place. I mean, they were, you know, like I always tell the story, there were liquor stores, 7-Elevens, convenience stores, you know, bookstores, wherever, you know. I gotta ask Matt from Cover Price what the 7-day trend.
The 7-Eleven by your house when you were growing up as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wanted to reach out to you and ask you.
Statute of limitations.
Oh, all right, never mind.
All right, so that's all I get. My lips are something. Yeah. I got to ask Matt about the 7-day trend of plus 0%, but it's pointing upward. So, and just like the previous one, it said.
Well, as a matter of fact, TiVo, I'm glad you asked because I have a little note
here. This one says NA.
I have a little note for you.
Okay.
Now, this is a new list, and this list is now generated from a new algorithm that is more refined than our old trend percentage. So the growth percentage trend seen here takes into account the grade and sales over the past week and compares it to the recent sales for the week before.
Well, that damn, that's cool.
That's a lot to take in. I don't even know.
So week over week, it's not up any percentage. It's just right there.
Okay, sure. All right.
That makes sense.
What do we have for number eight?
All right, this is cool. Number eight, I Heart Skull Crusher, number one, the Alessio Zano Virgin one per store that Boom just released. Fans continue to pick up this one-per-store variant whenever they can. Reviews surrounding the book are stellar, with the community happily embracing a story that's fun, energetic, and concise. Since the book is sold out at the distributor level and features a handful of variant covers, it's a lot easier for fans to dive in and collect the series and for a clear number one variant to rise to the top. We tracked 12 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 21%, with a high sale of $36 for a raw copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $15.
I'm digging. I'm digging the anime manga style.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, right?
I don't know anything about it, but yeah, I Heart Skull Crusher number one, the Alonzo Zone Virgin one per store. Wow. Okay. I don't know about that. We'll see how many.
So we've had a 1 in 25 on the list in the runner-up position.
Laura, how many units were sold, did you say?
We had 12 copies sold.
Oh, okay. So 12 stores. That's not bad. All right. Returning champion on the list, number 7.
All right. At number 7, we've got Avengers Twilight issue number 1, the Alex Ross regular cover. Now, Alex, is this the right cover? Yeah, all right. It says Alex Ross and Iron Man to go together like peas and carrots. Once this book hit LCS shelves, it was a star. The art was a contributing factor, but fans were interested in the debut of James Stark, Tony's son.
JB, I think while you're right. Isn't the one we're thinking about the one where it's like the Iron Man suit?
Yeah, I think it's.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe he is in the Iron Man.
Yeah, I didn't get the graphics. This is a cover price, so.
Cover price, got it. All right. But fans are interested in the debut of James Stark, Tony's son. While he hadn't donned the armor yet, fans coveted his first appearance. collectors must shift their gaze to Avengers Twilight issue 3 to see James put on the armor. Now, if the aftermarket is any indication, the armor does not maketh the man. We tracked 13 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 25% with a high sale of $30 for a near mint raw copy and a new current near mint fair market value of $22.
Wow, the rarity of JB slipping up. Normally, he's just so smooth and just wow.
Hey, this is spring break. We started drinking at 3 this afternoon.
Good for you.
We're going to call you Marty'd.
You know what? I'll take it.
Marty's not even
going to take it. That's a compliment to me, my friend. Marty is.
I agree. Marty's awesome.
On the pedestal. One of the best.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the right cover. I think he's right, because the Alex Ross one where it's kind of like coming in at an angle is the one I assume.
That's the one I was thinking, but maybe... You
know, just listen to us and don't look at the cover, and you'll be okay. All right. And Avengers Twilight number 1, Alex Ross, a regular variant, Raw Dog, 30 bones. What do you have for number 6?
All right, at number 6, we have X-Men number 213. No surprise there, right, that we're going to have a bunch of X-Men on the list. 1987. So currently... we have the Sabretooth War playing out within the pages of Wolverine. And this book is a hell of a Wolverine versus Sabretooth cover. Outside of that, it's also a low-key key featuring Mr. Sinister's first cameo. Mr. Sinister is the main villain in the recently released X-Men 97 and has long been theorized as a perfect villain to battle the X-Men in live action. The Sinister itch is at least being scratched for now, thanks to X-Men 97. Sending many collectors to secure a copy of his first cameo, as his first full appearance is growing out of reach for some. We tracked 22 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 34%, with a high sale of $31 for a near mint raw copy and a current near mint fair market value of $21. Have you guys been watching X-Men 97? I haven't.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
No.
You haven't, JB?
How come? I got
kids home, man. I ain't no time for that. What are you talking about?
Have it. Watch it with the kids. Jeez.
Watch it with the kids. Right? No,
they're just...
everybody's killing on this list, but Jason Finestone...
he says... the splits. He's created his own category.
Yeah, what's is that? What does that mean? 6 minus 6?
Six... so, sign the devil? I don't know. But if you have all
math. He's doing math. It's 6 minus 6 is 0 out of 6.
Ah, there we go. Ah, he was testing JB's math skills. Right. You know, JB.
Jason, what did you mean by that? We want to know how many you have so far.
All right. Number 6 on the list is X-Men number 213. Only $31 for a raw dog? That seems rather low, but we shall see. Is it time to get Ultimate? I guess so.
All right, next up. The halfway point of the show. You know what? It's time for, you know what time it is. It's time for me to shout out this fantastic live chat. If you are enjoying the show, please take a moment to hit that thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Maybe even consider hitting that bell so you don't miss the next time we go live. All right. By the way, if you had a JB Panders to the audience on your bingo card, take a shot. At number 5.
Whoa. We have a request.
What's that?
What is it? Oh my God. No, we already played it. You guys are going to kill that.
No, I'm sorry.
Come to me. I've been waiting.
Oh my God.
We're clipping that.
No, we're not. People already get so sick of my voice. They're like, don't let her talk ever.
Lord shall receive. Everybody's just throwing math up in there.
He goes. They're all happy. The chat is now happy. All right, here we go. At number 5, we've got, well, God, I feel like I've read this before. Ultimate Spider-Man issue number 1, Marco Cicchetto, The Deja Vu. This book is too legit to quit. Seriously, it won't stop popping up on this list, and that's a good thing. There are no rumors of an adaptation or a gimmick in the first appearance. It's just raw comics. That's a rare feat. with books constantly popping up on this list, thanks to internet rumors before falling off, never to be heard from again. Not this book, well, at least not yet. The Ultimate Universe is back with a bang. We track 33 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 5% with a high sale of $247 for a CGC 9.8 copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $87.
This book is incredible. So, how neat to see it just organically rise like this, and it comes back every single week. It's such a good read.
Yeah, and I think it's right now a lot of CGC submissions are coming back. So that's why I think that, you know, it's going to be on this list for maybe a couple more weeks, maybe a month. You never know.
I haven't seen a run like this since the Spider-Boy thing, right?
Right. It's been a while since we've seen it like steadily stay on there consistently.
We have a request, Laura.
No, thank you. How about a new live one that won't be recorded?
They're all recorded. They clip them out of the show.
The internet's forever. I would have to have something that made sense. Like that one made sense because it was a Dave Stevens story and it all kind of like worked. Or the Dave Stevens book and it made sense. So if I think of one, I'll let you guys know.
All right, I'll do it.
Come to me. My minions of evil destruction.
Okay. Number 5 on this Ultimate Spider-Man. Number 1, Mark of the Shadow Regular. 247 for a 9.8. What do you have for number 4?
Oh, God. Okay, number 4. X-Men 221 from 1987. So we've known Mr. Sinister would be the main villain for X-Men 97 for months now, thanks to the showrunners confirming that before the series was even released. So we've got to spot him in the opening credits of the revitalized series, and it's just getting started. Mr. Sinister is a villain with depth and untapped potential. Fans are beginning to clue in on that, scouring the aftermarket for his first appearance in this book. Sales have been on an upward trajectory for weeks now, and when he finally debuts, we could see another bump. We tracked 33 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 25%, with a high sale of $100 for a CGC 9.4 copy and a raw, very fine, fair market value of $45.
You are muted, TiVo. And if you had that on your bingo card, take a shot.
That's a good one. Okay, I'm going to take a shot
smoke,
now.
Or smoke one if you got one. X-Men 221, 9.4 for $100. I mean, for all of my collecting years, I have... cannot get a 9.8. Not, I'm not talking about buying a 9.8, but just getting a raw copy and getting it graded. For some reason, I cannot get a 9.8 out of this X-Men 221. I don't know. It's just one of those things, man. Just like
what a 9.8 would go for. What would you think? If a 9.4 is going for 100, a 9.8 for like...
not much. Two? But tune in Thursday and we'll find out when we go through the Cover Price website. Boom. Yeah. Bumper.
True. We're going to tag team that night, right?
Yeah, we are tag teaming.
Yeah. Somebody's clipping that.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. All right, number 3 on the list.
All right, at number 3 on the list, heating up in here, folks. It's heating up. At number 3, we've got, this is deja vu night again. Ultimate Black Panther issue number 1, the Stefano Caselli. I hope I'm saying that right. While Ultimate Black Panther hasn't seen the same heights as Ultimate Spider-Man, it's still doing incredibly well. That was to be expected, as Spider-Man is the most popular hero in the world, but Black Panther is absolutely spectacular, with fans eagerly jumping on the bandwagon. With advertising such as Wakanda Goes to War, who wouldn't take a second look? Now, collectors have been doing so since it debuted, caught up in rumors of lost books and destroyed copies. Some aren't sitting on their hands until that all shakes out. Instead, they grab a copy if and when they can. We tracked 27 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 9% with a high sale of $114 for a CGC 9.8 copy and a current raw near mint fair market value of $21. $1,000.
So a 9.8 for 114. You know, I'm going to ask, right?
What's a 9.9 going to be since that's the new option?
No. I mean, all right. Would you get a raw copy?
All right. Never mind.
Would you get a raw copy, get it pressed, get it submitted, get it, go to CGC for everything? What? That's pop close to 25, 50 bucks, right? I mean, and just for, you know, $50 and some change more, you get a 9.8, right?
That's yeah, just the buy question? The 9.8. Why go through when you just guarantee the 9.8 for the 114 bucks? Seems like a
peace
deal.
Of mind.
Yeah. So I don't think this book is going anywhere. I mean, shit, it's still at number three. It's been on here for what? A month? We shall see.
Breathe the TDs,
boys and girls. I'm going to disagree with you there. I think with the second printing coming out, it might actually start to just fall off of all these lists because people that really want one will just buy the second print. I don't know. I'm going to say next week, TiVo. Let's have a little bet here. Next week, this will not be on the list.
All right, woman.
Uh-oh. Right, book it, everybody. I want to drop a little action on that. Who believes, if you are voting with Laura, that next week this book will not even be on the list? Comment below.
Yeah, I think I've covered it because I'm saying it's going to be on the list, and she's saying not on the list at all.
At all.
Okay, those are that's a mighty big wager there, Miss Lady.
I know it's number three, but I don't think it's going to be on the list next week. I really don't. I think there's going to be more. We're going to see more X-Men, especially if we see that. I already made my prediction. I'm going to say no.
All right. Speaking of X-Men, way over number two.
Oh shit, that's me. Number two, we have X-Men 244 from 1989. Jubilee has never experienced as much love as she did during the height of the original X-Men animated series. Now that the X-Men are back, that love is coming full circle. While some fans were upset about the casting shakeup, others have embraced it wholeheartedly, putting their money where their mouth is, and snagging a copy of Jubilee's first appearance on the aftermarket. We tracked 25 copies sold at a 7-day trend of 26%, with a high sale of $35 for a raw, very fine copy, and a current raw, near mint, fair market value of $36.
Yeah, I think this will be in the list for a while too, as the X-Men series come out. You know, for more and more, they're just gonna, trust me, they're gonna come out. So number two on the list is X-Men number 244, and guess what's number one? It's X-Men.
All right, at number one, X-Men issue number 200, originally published in 1985. Now, Magneto becomes the headmaster of Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters in this issue. He is also drawn with a pretty sick costume with a ridiculously large M on his chest, like anyone would be guessing who he is. Now, despite the gimmick, he appears in the same costume in the recently released X-Men 97. He also takes over leadership duties due to the absence of Charles Xavier. With the show's return, this book has seen a massive spike in interest. Oh my goodness. Over the past few weeks, and will likely remain hot for a while. Are you guys ready for this? We tracked 91 copies sold. Damn!
Yep.
In a 7-day trend of 35% with a high sale of $159 for a CGC 9.8 copy and a current raw near mint. No, a current fine fair market value of $6. 91 copies sold. Good Lord. Yep.
Yeah. This $159 I would spend for a 9.8 as opposed to getting a grid. Why not? Guarantees you, you know, it's near mint and it's CGC, or is it?
Too soon. No controversy.
You know what? I was watching X-Men 97, and you know what they did right and expanded Cyclops? On Exactly. Because his beams aren't lasers that melt, right? They're repulsor rays, right? So they push things. And he does some awesome things where he like pushes himself off almost like an airbender. Sorry, I've been on an airbender kick lately. But yeah, and so I was like, whoa, that's cool. Cause you know, in the past, the movies especially, right? Like if you remember the X-Men scene where he takes it and he just burns the entire
did him dirty, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, and the way he was killed, man. James Marsden did not deserve that, man. All right. All right, JB, Bert's there. Let's say the Laura last words. Laura,
Jesus. Wait, what do you think of Gambit?
What about him?
In the cartoon?
In the new series,
what do you think of the new Gambit?
It's cool. He's, I mean, those cards. I mean, what are you going to say?
Well, what about the storyline, though, between like...
Oh, between him and Rogue?
Rogue.
We shall see. I mean, because they have a complicated history. So does Rogue and Magneto. So, you know. That's and it was alluded to in that little the little X-Men in 97. You know, he just barely like touch her shoulder or something like that, but she's definitely, I mean, it's true to the comic origins, right? Because Rogue was originally a villain, right?
And Magneto could touch her,
so, which is weird. How the fuck's that? How's that possible?
No, there's a reason. Whoa. For
Speaking of touching, Laura, want to say any last words to the people?
Yeah, guys, Near Nirvana is actually canceled tonight because the girls are having technical issues. So we'll be back next week on Near Nirvana. We're covering Jean Grey, actually. So make sure you watch us next week and then flow over to that. And like I said, please make sure you're following Bird City Comics. We'll be showing our Joel Herrera cover for World Tree 10, hopefully tomorrow if they approve it. It's stunning. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jean Grey is my favorite X-Men.
Really?
Her, well, mostly Phoenix, you know, but yeah, you know, you can put Jean Grey, Phoenix together, but Phoenix, Dark Phoenix, yeah, the whole character, that's my favorite. JB, speaking of my favorite character.
Aha, good one. Thanks for having me tonight, everybody. Laura, Tim, everybody in the chat. I will be going on vacation. I will not be here for Thursday's show. Everyone,
traitor is whore.
Traitor is whore, JB.
Have a safe and wonderful Easter, everyone. Right after that, right? Okay. And as always, don't forget.
We had a good time. And Laura, what have we had? Would you like to do the Lord sign off, please?
No, but I think we should call him a traitorous gluten-free whore.
There it is.
That's more accurate, right?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. It is.
Are you gonna do the Lord's farewell?
No, I always mess it up.
JB.
What? All right, everybody. Keep digging in them long boxes.
Yeah. Touche. Peace out, everybody. See you Thursday for the Shaker Show.
Yes. Yes.
Legends of the universe. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
TV. Now that's a name I've not heard.
There is.
In this, you shall know that the Lord is
What's in the box?